Mr. Horowitz, we looked up the date of your first recital in Orchestra Hall and found that that was March 10th, 1928. 58 and a half years ago, you came onto the stage for the first time. As we were talking before we began this tape, you said at that first recital in Orchestra Hall in 1928, so who was there in the audience?
Paderewski. And he loved that my concert, and I think he said that he had taken his mantle. It was in the paper, you know.
Uh-huh.
I think Chicago was my first success in America, even before New York came 1 year later. Uh-huh. Chicago liked it me right away, and so after 55 years, I cannot forget that. Mm-hmm. Now it's everywhere the same. Pardon me, I'm a little spoiled.
Of course.
But Chicago is special for me, yeah. Mm-hmm. I like the people, the whole, everything.
And have played many a recital and many a concerto, as a matter of fact, on this stage.
I played with Mr. Stock.
Frederick Stock.
Yeah.
In the Chicago Symphony, sure.
But you know, I cannot count the years. I cannot count. 40 years ago, 50 years ago. You know, I went to Russia now. I was playing there. And I left Russia in 1925. And I went there in 85. So I counted 6 years. And I had my family. I had a niece who is 9 years old. I came home and she's, let me home. I went there and she's 69. Can you imagine that?
Yes.
But it was very nice musical experience because people like the music there and everything.
Mm-hmm. I want to take this opportunity to thank you publicly on behalf of the people of Chicago that you are donating this broadcast, yeah. In effect.
I expose myself and my music to so many millions now. Many, many people will listen to that.
Oh, yes, of course. As you know, only about 2,600 people can come into the hall here, and as you probably heard, they could have sold the hall 3 or 4 times over.
I heard that. That's why I decided to do that, because I wanted to people... I don't come second time, I don't know when. And so I wanted to make most of the people can hear me, you see.
Yes. You played for so many years and play so wonderfully. And I wonder at times, you know, sometimes the business of making music must be very difficult and very hard, but the love of music seems to stay with you. That's what comes across.
But that's the most important. I call myself priest of the art, you see. The people don't tell he has a good job, but this is not a job, you know. No, it's just I'm happy, I'm successful, and I'm still okay. I feel now better than before. I play a lot now, you know, in Europe, in Japan, everywhere. And I hope it'll be a good concert tomorrow. I hope so. You never know, you know, from day to day. Everyone is human.
We were talking just a moment ago about the 1928, and you say Paderewski was there, and... I think of Paderewski, and you know, you inherited the mantle. Indeed, the kind of playing that Paderewski did, and the pianists of his generation, were much more flamboyant to see than Horowitz on stage. You are not flamboyant, so despite the extraordinary range of color, of power that you do.
This is démodé. That's out of vogue anymore. And the people who, you know, you concentrate the music in finger, in heart, in brain. But not in the face. You don't make grimaces, you know. Mozart, in his letter, he said, I didn't like that pianist because he made grimaces. So he will leave the hall from that. Yeah, it's true. And I don't know people even the conductor who made faces, you know, and emotional, but the musician doesn't have that. They play what is written there. It's a little bit Barnum, you know.
When you were a student, did your teacher say to you, you must be flamboyant to get across to the public?
No, when I was younger, I was more flamboyant. But now I play more music than to show off, you know.
Yes, yes.
You know, before you are 40, you show off a little bit, you know. You want to make impression with octaves, but I don't make any impression. I do what is in music is written.
I suppose it allows you to concentrate greater, as
yeah,
you say.
Yeah, I concentrate now.
Yes, right, exactly.
If they like it, they don't like. The late Mr. Monteux, you know, was a good conductor.
Oh, yeah.
He told me it was a very good story. He was conducting San Francisco, very good concert. He played one symphony of Haydn. And suddenly after that, a society lady came to him and said, oh, you know, maestro, you were fantastic. You're so beautiful. You play so good, gorgeous. But you know, I don't like Haydn. So he looked at her and said, you know, lady, it makes no difference. I love that. Yeah, I play with him a lot, too. Mm-hmm. Lately, I didn't play with orchestra at all. Mm-hmm. No.
Do you have any desire to again, do you think?
Yeah, maybe for record, but not a concert, no, because it takes too much time. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You have to stay in the city 1 week for that, mm-hmm. with three concerts, with rehearsal. But I come always 2-3 days before the concert. Mm-hmm. I cannot travel like that, all my life like that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't understand the people who travel, go from the train for the plane and play in 3 hours on the stage. They cannot do that.
Mm-hmm. One of the pieces on your program makes me think, and another one too, which is not on your program, I'm thinking of the B minor scherzo of Chopin, and I'm also thinking of Traumerei, pieces that you've played for
many
years.
I will play that as an encore probably.
Oh, good.
But now I'm crazy about Mozart. I play a lot of Mozart. Mm-hmm. That the composer would make me crazy, absolutely. I love it.
Yeah,
I always liked it, but I didn't like to play it. I played for myself. But I discovered now for the stage, and that is different.
What made the change, do you think? What?
Yeah, because I don't want to make any impression now. I just play music. I hope they will like it. Uh-huh. And before I thought, oh, no, that's not enough brilliant or not enough, you know, flashy. Uh-huh.
But speaking just again for the moment about the Chopin, the Scherzo, and the Traumerei, just to take two pieces. These are pieces you played for so many years. Every time you play them, there's something. It's as though you've discovered something new in them.
Yeah, but that depends on the mood of the moment, you know. Chopin did give lessons to the pupil. And he, in his letter, he writes, my pupil wants to imitate me. But how they can imitate me? But each time I play my own composition differently. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. His own composition. So what do you want from the interpreter? Tomorrow I can play Traumerei different than I played 1 week ago in Boston. Mm-hmm. Probably.
Mm-hmm. Color, I know, is a word that you use very often about the colors you have at the keyboard.
Well, sometimes the public inspire you too. If they listen well, mm-hmm. if they don't cough too much, if they did the nicest atmosphere, then they inspire you to play too. If they start, then you know.
Yes, yeah.
You lose a little bit. It depends. Mm-hmm, it's lots of luck too. When you have 3,000 people, it's lots of luck, you know. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Pianists used to, maybe they did it only at the time they played encores, but maybe they also did it in the scheduled program, too. Before they would start to play, they might improv.
I do that sometime. I will do tomorrow if you want that.
That would be very
even
nice.
Even for the radio, it's good?
Oh, it would be wonderful.
Okay.
But why does one improvise? What does this get you into?
You know, you feel how it sounds. Before starting to play, you know the sound. I rehearsed today, but in an empty hall. Mm-hmm. But when there are 3,000 people or 2,500, they sound different. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And a different feeling, maybe.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Well, Mr. Horowitz, we are, all of us, so delighted that you're here. And thank you again for this wonderful gesture of the broadcast.
Thank you.
Keep coming back.
I will. We'll see what happens tomorrow.